All right. If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to be here this morning. And I have the privilege of preaching to you guys here this morning. David has gone to a wedding, and so he is with his family, and they should be back here soon. But as I said, it's a great privilege that I don't take lightly in preaching to you here this morning. So this series that we've been going through in 2 Corinthians, this church in Corinth, Paul has written this letter, and it's 2 Corinthians, but really this is probably the third, maybe even the fourth letter that he has written to these people. And really, the thing that, since we've been in this for, you know, several months, about six-ish months, one of the things that I felt, and I hope you felt it too through David's preaching, that there's some challenging stuff through this. It's challenged me in the way of thinking the way the church operates, from church discipline to issues that come in the church. There's different challenges that we face. There's different challenges that the church faces, and sometimes it's challenges that come from within. It's not just stuff that's coming to them, taking stuff away. It's challenges that within the church that they face. And here's the thing. It's one thing to hear challenges that the church faces today. It's one thing to hear the challenges that the church faces today. It's a completely other thing to hear the challenges that this church in Corinth, where the Apostle Paul, that wrote most of the letters in the New Testament, who is literally the pastor of this church, and they're struggling. Let that sink in for a second there. The Apostle Paul, who met Jesus himself face to face on the road to Damascus, is the pastor of this church, and they are struggling. Listen, if even a place like First Baptist Church Corinth, that's a joke by the way, if First Baptist Church Corinth can have their own struggles, listen, there's hope. If they can have struggles of corruption, sexual integrity, lust for power and control. And here's the crazy thing too. The church leadership, there was a point where they were even leading a coup against Paul. If you don't know what a coup is, they're plotting against Paul and the stuff that he was doing. The church in Corinth is a complex place, and they've been overcome by old habits prior to hearing the gospel of Jesus. And listen, if this place can struggle, there is hope. And there is good news for the church. If even Corinth can struggle with that, Corinth is a cosmopolitan madhouse of issues. What it shows us is that not even a place like that is too far gone from God's love, mercy, and grace. Are you with me here this morning? That's good news for us. And that's good news for the church. And its struggles and our struggles. But here's the thing, this process can be a painful process. This process can be painful. It's good news, but it's painful. Let me paint you a picture here. Let's just say you're in a hospital going in for surgery, and there's a deep infection within you that there's a surgeon who needs to remove this from you. And in order to get it out, they need to cut you open with a scalpel. Listen, there's good news. Hope is on the way. Help is on the way. Is it going to be painful? Yes, but it's good news. It is good news. And God's love is good news for the church, but within there is growing pains. And what Paul has done is he has gone to this church and he has ironed out some of the issues that have gone on. That's what a lot of what we read in 1 Corinthians. And what happened from that is that there was two different responses from people. One, there were some people that are like, Paul, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you, what I said. We want to be better. As a church, we want to be better. We want to follow Jesus and everything we do. The other side of that was there were people that are like, listen, why should we even follow you in the first place? What do you bring to the table? What is it that you say? There's other people in Corinth. Listen, there's a reason why in high school they have you study some of this like Greek philosophy stuff. This is the birth of all that stuff going on. A big thing in world history is happening, and Paul is just another part of that. But in him, he's bringing the gospel of Jesus through to that. And so they're wondering, what makes you different than these other philosophers, these Greek philosophers, and people that are teaching us to think in different ways? And Paul's response, even from 1 Corinthians, is this. And if you look up on the screen, it's chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. He says this, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, "When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence of human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And still some were not satisfied. There were still different hiccups and issues that were taking place. And what has happened is that there are leaders in the church that are demanding proof from Paul. Listen, what is it that you bring to the table? What makes you different? And they're testing and comparing him in this. And today we're going to look at Paul's final response. I have the privilege of preaching. This is the second to last message for this. And then I'm going to basically set it up nicely for David, and he'll close it all up for us. So we're going to look into what he says for that. But if you will, join me in prayer, if you bow your heads. I just want you to think about your week, maybe this morning, of everything that's going on in your life, and just reflect and ask the Lord to speak into your life this morning through His Word. And pray that I could be faithful to what He has to teach for us this morning. Father God, we praise you this morning. That there is a possibility for us to know Jesus, that He made a way for us to have a relationship with you. We're so grateful. God, we're grateful that the Word does not return void. We're grateful that there is truth that can be proclaimed. And I pray that that truth is communicated by the Holy Spirit's power. Father, show yourself this morning. Teach our hearts. Have us minds that are open to hear. Father, teach me this morning. Let me not be in the way, but may you speak clearly through me, all to the glory of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Here's a quick question I have for you guys. Please, no hands raised. Listen, is anyone here guilty of comparing yourself to someone else? Is anyone here guilty of comparing yourself to a variety of different things? Comparing yourself to families, to marriages, lifestyles, hobbies, professions? Just me? Okay, well, you know. All right, hey, well, we can pack up and go. Listen, no. Listen, if we're all honest, if we're all vulnerable, listen, comparisons are so prevalent in the things that we do, and sometimes it can be so ridiculous sometimes. And I'm saying that as a confession of how ridiculous it can be. There's silly ones. Last week in our Sunday school class, we were talking about something. We were saying how it's funny. You ever try to just be really nice to somebody and you're like, "Hey, can I grab you a cup of coffee?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure, please." Like, okay, so you do the natural thing where you're like, "Would you like any cream or sugar?" And some of you know where I'm going with this is that some of them are like, "No thanks, I like to drink it black." Oh, so you think you're better than me is what you're saying. You think just because you drink black coffee that you're better than me. That was a joke we were talking about in our Sunday school. But listen, this is a silly comparison. But there is no difference from that. And even just maybe scrolling through Facebook and seeing, man, look at these photos. Look at these things that so-and-so's doing. Why don't I look like that? Why doesn't that look like for me? Maybe cruising down. Why doesn't stuff look like this for me? Fill in the blank wherever you're at. Maybe you've heard news from other people, you've talked to different people, and lately maybe, and I'm saying this even as a guilty thing for me, and maybe you've been more angry at positive stuff, maybe good stuff, maybe blessings that have been happening to people. Maybe you're more angry than it than you are grateful for those blessings for other people. There's an endless number of ways that we compare ourselves, but here's the truth this morning. The truth is, comparison, get this, comparison robs you and us the joy of following Jesus. Comparison robs us the joy of following Jesus. It's not somebody else. It's not somebody else doing something for you. Anything that gets your mind and your heart off of what God has called you to, what God has placed you into, it robs you of the joy of following Jesus. Just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you get out of jail free card to not be susceptible to this. You are susceptible to this. And listen, for the church leaders in Corinth, they're demanding proof for Paul to show his credentials. They're comparing him to other people that they've seen, and they're testing him. They're bringing this test about to him. Sorry about that. They're bringing this test to him, comparing him with the other leaders in Corinth. And look what he says here in chapter 13, verse 2 through 3. He says, I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but he is powerful among you. While the church in Corinth is wanting Paul to exercise this authority, you could kind of see Paul here where he's like, listen, I don't think you understand this Jesus guy. You're wanting me to perform these miracles, these signs for you to see. Here's my badge that I'm an apostle. Here, you know, apostle on command, on deputy. And listen, for him, he's like, I don't think you understand what this Jesus guy is all about, what he's trying to do in and through you guys. And listen, whether it's Paul, whether it's a pastor or a leader in the church, this authority, the authority in church leadership, the authority within the church, this is not a power or a right that gives you the right to say what you want and what you don't want. You don't see David up here saying, listen, if you don't do exactly what I'm going to say, bad stuff's going to happen. That's not how it works. If you ever did, leave. If you go anywhere else that says that, leave. That's not the gospel. That's not what God has called his leaders to do. But rather, for Paul, what he has done, he says, no, I'm not going to exercise this authority to tell you what you need to do. Rather, instead, I'm going to serve you. Instead, I'm going to surrender any power that I have. I'm not going to use that authority. I'm going to let my servanthood, I'm going to let my service do the leading for us. And for Paul, there is no comparison. I love this for Paul, for the gospel in general, and it's a theme throughout our Bibles of even all the stuff. Well, Paul says, I'd rather talk about my weakness. Rather than exercising these things that I have the authority to do, I'd rather show you my weaknesses. In verse 4, you can read here, it says, for to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Your version might say in dealings with you. I think it says up there in dealings with you. In service to you, is that word, what that word means? Listen, here's this idea that's going on. It's in weakness that there is strength, okay? This is a paradox in the Bible, okay? That might be a big word. Listen, all that means is it's both at the same time, that you have weakness in one hand, but because of this weakness, that there is strength. I'm a visual person, so I'm going to have it up on the screen for you. But for Jesus, this is what Paul is saying, according to verse 4, for Jesus, God's power is what led for Jesus' weakness to the cross. Are you with me here? Okay, Jesus' power, God's power, led to the weakness of going to the cross to the eventual resurrection, again, showing God's power. For Paul, if you look on the next slide, for those of you taking notes, I'm sorry, I'm trying not to go too fast here for you. For Paul, that God's power in him is what compelled Paul to serve the Corinthian church in the first place. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. There's power in weakness. And for Paul, this idea, it's inseparable. It's not something you can separate. It's like, well, I can't have this power and not have my weakness. We talked about this a few weeks ago when David was preaching about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and this is the verse that he had for it. Verse 8 through 9 says, three times, this is Paul speaking, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Whatever struggle he was dealing with, whatever was going on. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul goes back to speaking. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Okay? So all this to say, okay, if that's how it worked for Jesus, if that was a paradox for Jesus, if that was a paradox for Paul, what is it for us? What is God's power working in us, in the church, as members in the church? Where does this come in? Where do I fit in God's power working through me? And again, when we go back to Corinthians, these people are challenging Paul to wanting him to prove himself. And here's what's so genius. Paul flips it back on them. Listen, you're wanting to test me. Let's put that back on you, Corinthian church. First Baptist Church, we're going to put this back on you. Not you guys, but Corinthians. It says in verse 5, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? And if you look at your Bible, and I have it highlighted here, there's a little dash. And it's kind of meant to symbolize like, okay, there's a little pause here. Unless, of course, you fail the test. Unless, of course, you fail the test. The center of today's message is to examine yourselves. We had the mirror up here earlier. To examine yourselves and what God has created you and called you to be. And out of all the things we compare ourselves, for Paul, the challenge is this. For God's power, for us as a church, it is to examine ourselves. And listen, if we can be honest here this morning, when we examine ourselves, we can't help but sometimes find our weaknesses. Whatever you compare yourselves to, whatever test you have fabricated to measure yourselves to, listen, that's great and all, but how does that compare to the gospel? How does that compare to what Jesus has called you to be and to do? In verse 6 it says, and I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Paul's saying, we haven't failed the test. Now, if you don't see what God is working in us, you need to check yourselves. You need to examine yourselves, because if you are passing this test, you will see that we have not failed, okay? What he's saying here is that if you're a true believer, true follower of Jesus, you could see that all that Paul has done, God has worked through. And if not, if you check yourself, then perhaps, where do you stand on that test? Now, real quick here, if there's anybody that can brag about this test, if there's anyone that can brag about who they are, what they've done, it's Paul. His background, listen, Paul can come up there and just say, man, I have memorized the Bible that Jesus had. I have memorized that. I know it down to the T of what it says. He doesn't boast about that. He could boast and he could say and brag about how he passed the test. Like, I've met Jesus face to face. In fact, Jesus called me to be an apostle of his church. He doesn't boast about that. He has been beaten close to death several times for the sake of Jesus. If there's anyone that is overqualified to talk about how good or qualified they are for this, it's Paul. And for him, he passes the test. Now, I've been saying test a whole lot, and I did that on purpose. What is this test? You can see in verse 5 and 6. But the test is this. The test is of their faith. The test is of their faith, the test of their profession. That if you profess to be a follower of Jesus, that Jesus dwells within you, then your life is marked by that profession of Jesus. Inseparable for Paul. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives within you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. So if you're following me here, that if we have the gift of God dwelling within us, if God's Spirit dwells within us, and perhaps maybe sometime this week or sometime that this has happened recently. We talked about mirrors earlier. Think about the times that you step and you look into a mirror, whether it's today or some point this past weekend, and you examine yourself, you check yourself of what's going on. When you look in that mirror, do you see someone who is redeemed by King Jesus? And maybe to be a little bit more personal, what about the things that you think about yourself? Do they reflect the thoughts of what King Jesus says about you or me? Maybe the things that you say when others are around you are the words that come out of our mouths. Would people recognize it that those, because the Spirit of God lives within them, that the words that they speak are the very words of Jesus? That's the test. Is the things that I see, the things that I think, the things that I say, do they reflect Jesus. Jesus is the standard. And the good news of Jesus is that he doesn't leave the Corinthian church alone. He doesn't leave Alton, Texas alone. And he doesn't leave you alone in those things. But in his words, he exemplifies this. He talks about his humility here in verse 7 through 8. He says, "Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though," I have it highlighted there, "even though we may seem to have failed the test. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth." Paul's showing his servant leadership here. He's saying, "I care more about your reputation, church. I care more about your reputation, your integrity, all these other things. And if it means that it looks like I failed, glory to Jesus. Glory to God through that." He cares about them more than his own reputation. And this is not a foreign idea. Maybe you've experienced this too. This is called love, okay? What Paul is saying is, like, "I love you guys so much that even if it means that I look like a fool, praise Jesus," okay? This would probably be no different than maybe for a spouse, a loved one, maybe your own kids. You would do anything for those that you care and love about. Here's the kicker. Here's the painful part. Here's what makes Jesus different. What about doing that for your enemies? What about for people that aren't fond of you? And Paul, when he says that, the verse that we just read, he is talking that to people that probably several years ago, they probably wanted him dead. Verse 9 says, "We are glad. You're glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored." I need you to see the grace, the mercy, and the love that Paul is communicating to this church, this cosmopolitan madhouse of a church that Paul is essentially the pastor of. Listen, that probably wanted him dead, wanted so many things for him, wants him to prove himself. Listen, we're glad whenever we're weak, but you are strong. I almost named this message, if you look in your bulletin, the name of this message is, it's "Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself." Probably you're like, "Oh, the pastor's preaching. He must be, because that's why we have a title like this." Listen, if we take following Jesus seriously, and I'm saying this for me at the top of the list, if we take following Jesus seriously, hear this, we must regularly check ourselves against the life-changing work of the gospel. If we're taking this seriously, that we challenge each other with the love that Paul has encouraged us with, then we match everything according to the gospel. If not, we become professionals with microscopes. Here's what I mean by that, if you catch my drift here. When you look through a microscope, you're seeing all the fine details and stuff. And maybe, and I'm guilty of this too, where you have zoomed in on the stuff that you like and definitely the things that you don't like. And it's so quick to dismiss all these things. The Church of Corinth is struggling with these issues. You know who else struggled for these things? The Pharisees, of which Paul was a member of prior to meeting Jesus. I imagine for some of this, that for Paul, some of this is personal. Like saying, listen, the actions that you guys are doing, that the church in Corinth is participating in, I know what it's like, and it's not good. In fact, it's far from what God wants for his church. And the Pharisees, the church in Corinth, and a lot of things, they were really good with microscopes. They didn't do so very good. They didn't do good with mirrors. They did good with microscopes. They didn't like to look at the mirror. They didn't like to see themselves, their own reflection. They didn't check themselves. And so this morning, church, here's the seriousness of it, and here's the side that I want to get to here. The seriousness for the church to test yourself, to examine yourself in your walk with Jesus. I read this quote from this pastor, and it really convicted me. I read it a few weeks ago, and it was just something that I was like, man, I need to examine myself and things I do. And here's the quote up on the screen. It says, "I have noticed in my ministry that those who are quick to examine and condemn others are often guilty of worse sins themselves. In fact, one way to make yourself look better condemn somebody else. And what I got from this, this quote here, what I got from it is I think of all the times that I waste trying to compare myself to what I think the success looks like, or what I would like it to look like, what I would like my life to look like. I think of the times that I've wasted looking through a microscope rather than checking into a mirror. I think of the joy that I robbed myself of comparing myself to others. I think of all the things I'd rather just sweep under the rug instead of showing my weakness. Are you with me here? The gospel is good news, but it's painful. It can be painful to test ourselves in comparison to the gospel. We check ourselves in our weakness before we wreck ourselves. Paul ends with this, verse 10 here. He ends with this. He says, this is why I write these things. This is why I've projected this to you. This is why I have compassionately sent this to you. I write these things when I'm absent, that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority that the Lord gave me for building you up, not tearing you down. God didn't give Paul this authority to rule over people, to tell them. He didn't put him in this position to guilt people into doing what he wants them to do. That's not what the church's role is. That's the Holy Spirit's role. It is to show his weakness and see God's power working through him. And it is a power that builds up the church and doesn't tear it down. Here's a last illustration for you guys, and we'll have some takeaways here. I'm not much of a woodworker or a carpenter. I've done a few projects here and there. But I've done enough that I know that it is much easier to start fresh on something new, on a new project, than it is to try to fix something that was built the wrong way. It's easier to start fresh on something new than to try to fix something that was made the wrong way. And the same goes for the new believers. It's so much easier when someone has newly came to Christ to say, this is how you love, this is how you show compassion, this is how you live to follow Jesus, but for someone else who's been following Jesus a long time, that has old habits that have gone unchecked, are you here with me? Old habits that have gone unchecked, it's a painful process. So through this, the same goes for us. That we examine ourselves, we see our own weaknesses, and here's the big thing, is that we confess them in the church. We confess them to one another. We leave them up to God to let his power work in us because of our weaknesses. And so here's the five things I'm going to have up on the screen for the note takers. I know I like this, and David's been doing this recently, and it's been awesome. Here are five takeaways to take away from this passage from verses 1 through 10. And the first thing is to examine yourselves. Have you enjoyed using a microscope instead of looking into a mirror? Have you been comparing yourselves to a test that not only someone else could not pass, but you couldn't pass either? Are you more focused on tearing down than building up? I think for this first one, it's important to be honest about your weaknesses. The second one I have up there is search out the Pauls in your life. Here's the thing. This letter for Paul, I imagine, it's not easy for him to write. In fact, this is his most vulnerable letter. He's really put himself out there. He's like, listen, take me. Glory to Jesus. Find the Pauls in your life. Someone who will call you out when needed, but also has the gentleness. Here's the key qualifier, the gentleness of a servant leader. And if you have a Paul-like figure in your life, someone that you trust, that you go to encourage you in your walk with Jesus, check up with them regularly. I'm not talking about once a year. I'm talking about frequently and regularly to check yourself. And if you don't check yourself, here's the thing, is if anything, this might be a challenge to walk away from, but invite someone into your life, someone that you do trust, to be able to check you, to make sure that you're following Jesus in the ways that you should be. Here's a third thing. Take pride in your weaknesses. the Spirit of God lives within us, and He does, then we have nothing to fear. Christ's weakness led Him to the cross and eventually led to His resurrection, and it shows the strength that He can give new life. Number four, pray for your restoration. Are there times in your life that you have acted outside of what Jesus has called you to do? Maybe you have been guilty of comparing yourselves to others. Maybe the things that you see, that you think, that you have said are not the things that King Jesus has placed within you. And we invite the Holy Spirit to change our hearts through that. Jesus restores, He heals, and He reminds us of our identity and the price He paid with a sacrifice. And the last thing that I have up here is pray for your pastors. Pray for David. It's hard to not read this passage and not to heavily see how this is tricky for Paul. How do you exercise authority to help people, but also have a gentleness in servanthood? And there's a lot that don't get it right, and David is exceptional at it. So pray that he continues to have a ministry where he does such things. Pray for him in his ministry. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you about a minute here to just think through those things. If you wrote them down, discuss them in your Sunday school, and let them be the things that speak to your life this week through this. And so if you will, I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes, bow your heads here, and take a moment to pray. Examine yourselves. Don't look at the tests that others have put before you. Don't look at the tests that you've made for yourself to compare yourself to other people. Measure yourself to the gospel of Jesus. Examine yourselves. I'll let you pray. Jesus, thank you that we don't have to be afraid of examining ourselves, the things that maybe we don't like about ourselves, things that we wish could change just right now. We wish that they were gone and they were far away from us. God, it's very difficult to change ourselves. It's very difficult to get someone else to change. Father, we pray that you do the changing in our hearts and our minds. God, I pray for the church here this morning at FBC Olton, that we may be a people that are quick to examine ourselves, to take pride in our weakness, all for the glory of Jesus, to see your power work through us. We pray that you do a great work in us. I pray for discussion, whether in small groups or people on their way home. God, pray for them in their journey of faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you guys to stand up and we'll sing our